Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, make sure to subscribe to Off the Floor. That's our Discord server. $2.99 per month. You get host updates. Get stuff before it goes to Twitter or anywhere else. Also, you can chat with other Heat fans and with us all the time. Again, $2.99 per month. Off the Floor. The link is right here in the description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Prize Picks. Use the code FIVE, F-I-V-E. Football season back in full swing. Of course, some of those Tua props, told you to play those over. Tyreek prop, and not even what happened before the game could stop him from clearing the 88.5. Check it out. Use the code FIVE, F-I-V-E. You put down $5 on your first play. They hand you $50. Get ready before basketball season. Of course, right now you can play MLB, NFL, MLS, and more. Again, it's prizepicks.com. Use the code 5. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscay. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept this role playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. Inspire, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Hi, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick, and follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. And Alex Toledo, you can follow him at Tropical Blanket. All right, we are through the top 40. Greg and I went through the entire thing. We upset some people. I was actually surprised, I will say this, Alex. I didn't think anybody was actually listening, I'll be honest. I mean, we've been trying to fill a lot of time here. But not only were members of the Heat organization listening, who took it's amazing that we got credentialed for next year. People think that if they're upset with us, we don't get credentialed. First thing, I want to thank the Miami Heat, by the way, before I move forward, that myself, Brady, and Alex will all be have season passes again this year. So
run it back.
Run it back. We're running it. But maybe we're the problem. They keep running it back with us. I don't want to say that out loud. This is like it's Jimmy, Bam, Tyler, Ethan, Brady, Alex. That's the problem. That's the core that we've put together. Anyway, we will be covering all the home games as we always do. And I'm going to try to make some road trips as well this year. So the Heat people will get tired of seeing me. But anyway, I've heard from some of them about not agreeing with some of the picks that we made. But I also was at the Dolphin game yesterday, and there were literally people arguing with me in the hallways, like in the corridors. You put Haslam behind Dragic. I seriously heard that as I was walking by. But we do appreciate those who listened. Greg and I, we did 10 episodes. It's like 5 hours of content on that stuff. So again, we apologize right off the top. Let me throw this at you, Alex. Who would be our biggest, most egregious miss? I'm going to read a list of players, some of whom more in your era and some not. Okay, who's the guy that got snubbed the worst? Wayne Ellington, PJ Tucker, Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala, Jason Richardson, Josh Richardson, Kendrick Nunn, Deion Waiters, Michael Beasley, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Anthony Carter, Bruce Bowen, Sherman Douglas.
So many names.
Those are Yep. Well, he went with Hassan at 39. When he did that, like, I threw the whole thing out of whack.
No, I think Whiteside probably deserved to make it just for, you know, that short peak he had here where he was really productive. But and out of those guys, it's a lot of, like, role players, you know. So it feels like just kind of picking from the bunch. It's hard to kind of discern there, right? Because a lot of them were very short-term role players too. Like you mentioned, kind of all the guys that have cycled in and out through this era, right? Through like a PJ, right. Jay, Crowder, Bruce. Yeah. Did you mention Caleb too?
No, Caleb made it. Caleb was 35th.
Oh, whoops. That's on me.
Caleb made the list. Apparently the Heat were listening, but you were not. Caleb Martin at 35.
I was like at 25 last I heard. I haven't caught up all the way, so don't spoil it for me.
Caleb had a significant. We will get to today's topic, by the way. But Caleb had a significant. I mean, like, not just a moment. He had a whole series against.
Yeah, Boston. I was gonna say Caleb like probably got to be up there just for those moments because it was so explosive, and again, like him getting runner up for Conference Finals MVP, it was just one of the craziest things to happen. But honestly, from those guys that you mentioned, I would probably say. Michael Beasley? No.
I knew to say that.
Maybe Gabe. I don't know. Like, all of them, like, the guys that I mentioned, like, from this era, I feel like all of them are kind of, you know, similar. Like, they all gave you, like, a really good playoff run.
I would take Max ahead of Gabe, by the way.
Okay. I mean, they both gave you that 2020. Well, I mean, I guess Max was better in 2022 in the playoffs.
Right.
And I would say he had two good playoff. I mean, like, Gabe was good against the Hawks, but I wouldn't say he was, like, fantastic in 2022 after that. But, yeah,
probably. Oh, by the way, you did not make the list, and I mentioned Kyle Lowry didn't make the list.
Oh, surprising.
Well, that's our biggest snub, I think. But I just – neither of us – it was kind of like once he went with Whiteside, he said he wasn't going to pick Whiteside or Lowry. And I actually think Kyle's tenure will be – better, I don't know. Why don't I say appreciated? It'll look better in the light down the road. Yeah. I think, right?
When you just look at, like, it, you know, his two or his three seasons here, you know, where they ended up, I think it'll look better. With just that, like, he was for a lot of it a starting point guard or just like a main rotation player, even though he was obviously in and out, and you know, everybody was disappointed with the production. He was a part of it, and. To be fair, he did give you a lot of moments. You know, just the production was always inconsistent, but he was a big part of, like, these runs too. And I feel like we kind of forget about that a little bit. Like, we give credit to the Gabes and the Maxes and the Calebs as we should, but Kyle was a part of it too. That's, like, you know, the thing about this run too is these playoff runs. Guys have moments, right? Yep. I feel like Caleb had a whole series, right? But a lot of times, like, guys have moments, and I think that's what makes, you know, it separates it from just, like, oh, Jimmy carrying them and Bam playing great defense. And, you know, all these guys that we mentioned here all had their moments. And it's cool to, like, kind of, you know, naming all of them to reminisce on some of these good times here.
Well, and you know, not only do they'll have moments, but, I mean, the moments that made huge differences, like Max's game to get them out of the play-in. Otherwise, that run never, ever happens. So, I mean, a lot of it also, you know, I think we probably gave Deion Waiters short shrift for his contribution in 16-17. So I feel like it might
have to be on that list, low-key.
I think so. And I think we went with some, like, favorites over maybe players who had, you know, bigger contributions, even if it was a shorter period of time. But, again, it's tough. I mean, Joel Anthony at 34, you could argue we left players off who were better players than Joel. But again, Joel was a part of the big three teams, and I felt like anybody who was part of the core rotations of those teams probably needed to be on the list somewhere.
You guys put Joel five spots ahead of Whiteside?
We did it. He did. He picked both. Joel was not going to be in my top 40. I'm sorry, I like the Warden, but he was not going to be in my top 40, but he picked him. He also went with Kevin Edwards at 36. I think he got influenced heavily by Sean on that one. I I would have actually gone with, as an old guy here, I would have gone with Sherman Douglas over Kevin Edwards. But it, again, we felt like we had to take care of some of the all older guys. And then Keith Askins at 40, just because he is like the original Heat lifer, really. And he crossed the eras where Pat kept him around, and not only kept him around, but gave him a bigger role. And I kind of felt like he should be on the list. And we all sort of agreed on that one. But, you know, again, there were other players who may have been more productive. But Keith was a central part of quite of what they are. All right, so we're going to pivot here to the actual topic as we go. And as it is, I've never actually done a floor plan of 9 minutes and 12 seconds into the podcast. But we're going to talk about training camp. And which of these things, I don't want to say which of these things are most important, but I'm gonna send them to Alex, and Alex is going to tell me the level of importance of these. And you have to vary this a little. They can't just all be really important. So think about it in the grander context of it. We'll come back and do this, okay? So you think about it at home as well. We do want to mention a sponsor that's come back to us in a big way, and we appreciate them a lot. One of our original sponsors here at Five Reasons Sports, been to our watch parties, our friend Mark Dela Cruz over at You Break Wheel Fix. You can find it. Excuse me, got a little crack in my throat here. But anyway, You Break Wheel Fix. You can find them at, again, youbreakwheelfix.com with the letter U at the start. You Break Wheel Fix is Miami's premier wheel repair and restoration company. Over 20 years of experience and located in North Miami, You Break Wheel Fix offers quick repairs for damaged wheels, and on most cases can offer free loaner wheels to keep you on the road while repairing your damaged wheel. If your wheels are looking weathered and it's time to freshen up your car, don't replace, refinish. Their in-house wheel refinishing solutions such as powder coating, machining, and polishing will give your car the new look it deserves. They also do all the local team colors here as well. So contact Mark and his staff. Again, it's at 305-748-0112, 305-748-0112, or again on Instagram at YouBreakWheelFix or at YouBreakWheelFix.com. And here's the new promotion they're offering as they come back to us here. You mention Five Reasons, you get 5.5% off your next repair. So again, YouBreakWheelFix.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, so let me go through some of these with you. And again, we're not going to rank them necessarily, but you're going to tell me level of importance. How important is it, in your view, that Spoelstra comes out with a set starting lineup out of training camp?
So when you say set starting lineup, you mean like one that you expect him to just, that's going to be the lineup for the time. So I guess if I had to go 1 through 10, and just to get ahead of it, all of these, even though I don't know what you're going to ask me, all of these are tough questions, right? Just by default. But yes. No, in all seriousness, I would say probably 6 or so, you know, slight. It's kind of important, but like I've said before, so not to sound like a broken record, I do feel like getting the right lineups and the right rotation is more important than the starting lineup, right? And it's just obvious because, you know, the game is of course more than just the first few minutes where the starters play. But, you know, I do think it is important for him to figure it out and just kind of have a confident solution, right? And I think we all kind of think it's going to be Terry Tyler and Jovic, and maybe it will be, right? If I had to bet, that's what I think it will be. But I do expect it to be, because of what you said, I do expect it to be a competition in training camp. And I think it should be. It's a pretty deep team, right? I know everybody, a lot of fans are, you know, not exactly excited going into the season, but it is a deep team. There's a lot of rotation players. And I think figuring out the right mix of guys, right, the right mix of lineups is more important ultimately than figuring out that starting lineup. But I do think there is something to be said if it ends up being that lineup that we think it is, to kind of get a sample on what that looks like and how viable it is. Because it doesn't have to be your closing lineup, right? But how viable is it with kind of almost all of your best players on the floor at the same time? Kind of just and see how that works.
All right. Here's my thought on this. There's going to be a lot of conversation about it, obviously. This is going to be like the number one thing that's watched. And it's going to be the number one thing that's watched. Well, maybe the number two thing. I'll get to the number one thing in a second. But it's going to be one of the top two things that's watched, because people are going to, you know, wonder again what the fit is with Tyler. I mean, that's what this all comes back to, right? Like, I don't think that Heat fans care that much about who the starting quote-unquote four is. There'll be some who say it should be Ware if he starts to pop in camp. There are others who, you know, will point to Highsmith. I think most are kind of leaning Jovic. There'll be some for Hakez. There's a lot of different ways that they can go with this. But primarily, this is about the backcourt, right? And so I don't think it's necessarily what Spoelstra chooses. It's kind of how he gets there, right? It's kind of like, as camp starts, is it clear, okay, Tyler's a starter, regardless of what I might have heard about there being competition for the three other spots. Tyler's a starter, and we're building from there, and then it's all kind of looking at what the Rozier Hero, because I would think, again, it would probably be Rozier and Hero then, and that we're looking at what that Rozier Hero backcourt is going to be and how they work together and whether that's sustainable. And then it's, okay, what piece you're going to put at the four. But again, there's going to be a lot of focus on this as a narrative thing, as a personality thing, in Heat fans' eyes, has he earned it? And I'm not saying he hasn't. It's not that he hasn't earned it as being a quality player, but as he, in terms of the fit, you know, are we still here in this year six, trying to figure this thing out? But again, he's going to start regardless, even though they had their most success in the regular season when he was coming off the bench and as, you know, a really, really good six man of the year. So I think it's going to be the number one topic for fans. I don't know that it's that important in terms of winning games.
Yeah,
I think we've talked about this and Brady's talked about it too. It's more sort of the layering of the rotation during the games and how they get to the finishing lineup. I think that's more important than who plays the first 5 or 6 minutes of each half. Yeah. But I think from a narrative perspective, it's going to be pretty high on the list.
It's going to be really interesting to see like who he ends up starting and then who ends up being like the closing lineup, because it feels like it's one of those seasons where we get a lot of different closing lineups. So I think that's going to be more fun to monitor.
Yes, I would agree with that. Okay. How Jimmy Butler acts on his very first day.
Oh, man. That's a good one. Oh, man. I hadn't even thought about that. You just got me more excited.
No, you don't think about it. To me, it's going to be that. Like I said, that's why I just pushed the Hero thing to 2.
No, you know me. When I'm thinking about media day, I'm thinking about how we're going to manage all the interviews.
It's like that's the
he's
most.
Thinking about, he's thinking about whether or not our video is going to come out correctly, and whether or not I'm gonna turn off the microphone because he hands me a mic, and then I accidentally always hit the mute button while I'm speaking. So that's more what you're concerned about. I can tell you the Heat don't give a damn about that. I think they don't care about if you put out content or not. I mean, no, we didn't have a table last year, so that's it. But thank you guys for providing it after the fact. We appreciated that. That's it. Oh, but anyway,
the table debacle. But that was fun.
Can we believe it's been a year since then? Anyway, okay.
But
last year, Jimmy did the emo thing, and Pat hated it. I heard he hated it. Okay, like there are two things I heard that Pat hated. Well, hated strong word. That he disapproved of the most. Okay, what Jimmy did this past year. One was the emo Jimmy thing. And two was the we would have beaten Boston if I'd been healthy thing, which he verbalized that at the press conference. But I heard the other one was he didn't like the whole emo Jimmy thing. He just thought it was beneath the organization, basically.
I'm going to give it a five. I'm going to give it a five here. I think it's a little important, but not that important in the big picture, because I do think it doesn't. I mean, we'll see what he does, right? Because he always subverts expectations. I don't know what he's going to do, but. In my eyes, like, I already kind of have my mind in the place of, like, everything is up in the air. So, being that I'm already there, you know, and I mean, everything is up in the air regarding Jimmy's situation, I should say. So, with my mind already there, it's a five. But if you're kind of like, oh, Jimmy's on the team for the time being, and maybe you weren't quite, you know, nervous enough about whether or not he's going to be on the team a year from now, maybe this is what does it for you, right? If you're like a casual fan and then you find out on media day, there's stuff coming out that like Jimmy is, I don't know, like not speaking to certain people or I don't know. Like, I don't know what he's going to do, what he's going to not say, what he's going to not do. Who knows how he's going to go about it? It's good that you brought that up, because I hadn't really been thinking about that. I don't know what he's going to do that first day, but you know, maybe he blows it up. Maybe he tries to blow it up and brings attention to it. I don't know. You know him. He's very like, he's going to do the opposite of what you think he's going to do. And maybe you think he's going to be like quiet about the situation and not address it, and he does the opposite. You know, it's hard to predict him with the way that he's such a contrarian. But I do think it's like, if he can shed any light as to how he feels about the situation, then I think it's more than a five. I think it's like a seven or an eight. To bring some clarity to the situation. I really don't know what to expect. And I don't know if that's a cop-out answer, sorry, but I really don't know with Jimmy.
Well, I don't even think the people around him know what to expect. I don't know that he's thought about the Miami Heat since that last day. I really don't. I'm not trying to create controversy here. I'm just saying there hasn't been a whole lot of communication. I know that. Between the parties. And I don't know how he's going to come in. But I do know this, okay? However, you're right. However we expect him to come in, he's going to do something totally different. I mean, I would think that it's like the biggest thing would be like, what is going to trip out the producers at ESPN? And I guess it's NBC. Well, is the NBC's thing start this year? I can't even know.
No, I think it's next year.
Okay, so TNT another year. Like, what is going to make them laugh the most or frustrate their producers the most by, like, what picture he takes? That will be the picture that they have to use the entire year because it's the one he does at media day. I'm sure he's thought about that.
Another haircut would be cool. I just hope he doesn't, like, blow up the situation, ask for a trade, like, on the mic or something.
See, I don't think he wants that.
No, I don't think he wants it either.
But I also don't think he would. I don't think he would do that with this organization. I think that's the part of this that is different, that people are not taking into account, that he didn't have any respect for the Minnesota organization, right? I mean, for Tibbs, but not for the grand scheme of the whole thing, and for some of his teammates. And so it was a little bit different than here, where I don't really think he wants to sully his legacy, even if he's really pissed off. I just don't think he wants to do that. You know, the relationship he built with Spo in particular, I don't see that. But there are ways to get under people's skin that he's very good at, as good as anybody. And the trolling and, you know, trolling and kind of a little passive aggressive, petulant. Like, I do think we could see some of that. But I don't know. I really don't. I mean, the emo thing came out of nowhere. So
I can't wait to hear what he says. because he's going to get asked about the situation, right? Like, that's allowed, isn't it?
Oh, no, they're not going to stop us from asking about it. I mean, it will be interesting. I was actually, just to bring this back to something, and then we'll get more training camp stuff. I will be curious a little bit. I say they're not going to stop us from asking about it. I will be curious how the Heat handles it overall. Because again, they don't censor P. I want to be clear on that. In fact, I was surprised. Like, I was at the Dolphins game on Sunday, and I was really surprised how forthright the Dolphins were, because the Dolphins had a history for 25 years when I covered them. It's a different PR staff at this point, but of like avoiding topics, like controversial topics. And they put Tyreek Hill out there yesterday. They put Calais Campbell out there yesterday. Like, they addressed the situation. And then Mike McDaniel did. I always prefer when the organizations do it that way. And I think the Heat will handle it that way. But, you know, there's a fine line here. I mean, he's your best player. Like, I mean, some may argue Bam is gaining, but he has been your signature player of this build, Jimmy Butler. Yep. And it is the only thing really that the national media is going to pay attention to.
Yeah, like, I'm sure you want to have, like,
start speculating on whether, right?
It's just like, yeah, for sure. I think they're going to, like, the Heat want, like, them to be on the same page. Like, I'm sure that's what they want. And for them to be like this unified front, you know, there's nothing to worry about. We're going to handle it when we handle it. And maybe that's how it goes. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would probably still bet that it's going to be like, Jimmy doesn't say anything controversial as far as the contract. And he just says, kind of, you know, I'm a Miami Heat player, and I'm going to, you know, I want to win. I still believe we can win a championship. He's going to be repeating that sentiment that we've heard. And I'm not saying that like in a negative way. I believe that he believes that they've come close. Right. So I think he's going to be, you know, talking about how he wants to win a championship. I think he's going to put down the kind of narrative about whether or not he's going to be, you know, with the Heat a year from now, the extension talks and all of that. It'll be asked. And I think he'll put it down. But you just, like I said, you just never know with him what he's going to say, what he's going to do. I don't think it's going to be a Minnesota situation, but it is just one of those like wild card things where, he just, you know, he slips up or he says something that, you know, kind of tells you a little bit about how he's feeling. It's just been so quiet so far that whatever he says is going to be very newsworthy.
Well, the other thing about it is that Spo is going to set the tone for it in some way, because the way that media day typically works is Spoelstra speaks first. I think it's been that way every year, but maybe one year where it got flipped, but like typically Spoelstra will speak first and then the core players will come out to the podium. So my guess would be probably Bam, Jimmy, Tyler. If Jimmy even talks, I would assume he's going to talk on media day, but remember he didn't have to talk to us the last day of this, you know, the day of the exit interviews. And he didn't, and nobody had, and the local media has heard from him since. I mean, he's done some promotional interviews. He does some stuff with some national outlets, but nobody locally has heard from him. So this is gonna be the first time we've gotten a chance to ask him anything that's more relevant to this organization, not to coffee, not to tennis, not to this, but to his actual future with the Miami Heat. And I would assume he's going to make himself available. So I will start there. But Spoelstra is going to set the tempo for it. And my guess is he'll have some theme in his head regarding this that will be team-centered. And he will talk about his alignment with Jimmy. Similarly to when I asked him a question at that last day of the year, last day of the season, and he talked about is this similar to Dwayne in any way, or he compared it to Dwayne in terms of the way that they've kind of grown together. And obviously his relationship with Jimmy is different than his relationship with Dwayne, but it's clear that Spo is trying to set, again, a tone of alignment, that we are together on this thing. We're all moving forward as members of the Miami Heat organization. Business will be handled. Pat will take care of that, et cetera, et cetera. Pat or the Arisons or whatever. And, you know, but we're going to move forward, you know, with a team that we believe can compete. That's, I think, the tone that they're going to set. But then if Jimmy talks and says anything different than what Spoelstra says, then we're in a different place there. And you and I experienced that, not with Jimmy, but I remember with Dion Waiters at training camp in Palm Beach, remember? And I think we provoked Dion to talk about his role, and then Spo was not really happy with the way that Dion presented it. A little different with, you know, with Jimmy as opposed to Dan. All right, let me go through a couple more of these here quickly. So how important is this? kind of settling on what Khalil Ware's role is going to be this season.
And do you mean like as far as having that role figured out after training camp?
Yeah, having an idea of how much he's going to contribute. Not necessarily is he going to start, he's going to be, you know, how many minutes he's going to play, but is he going to contribute?
7. And that might be higher than maybe people thought I would go, just because I haven't been very high on the idea of him starting with Bam. I don't think that's going to happen this year or anytime soon. Not that I'm down on him as a prospect. I just think it's up in the air because of the guys currently on the roster and, of course, what we've seen with, like, who Spo likes to put next to Bam. And I do think Jovic earned that spot. I think Haywood, obviously, you know, has made the case for that too, has shown you a lot. And I don't think he's going to be the starting four. You never know. He could be. But I think Jovic is probably the likely guy to start next to Bam. And I think Haywood has a much better case. I don't think Ware is somebody who is ready for that. And I say that even, you know, even though Bam, I feel better about his shot, I think you're trying to kind of pigeonhole two guys who might not be great fits next to each other. And you could work it out. You know, you could play them together. But if what you're going for is to find the best lineups and to play your best players, I don't think he fits. And I also say that just because it's like, I think it's a fit thing. And I don't think he's one of your best players yet. Like, he's a great prospect. I'm excited to see him play. And I hope he plays. I hope it's not a thing where, you know, we don't see him till like January and he's not in the rotation till then. It's going to be easier said than done because, again, like, K-Love is still good and was so positive for them these past couple of seasons. And, you know, I wonder if Ware plays on nights where Love does. I that's just where I am, because it's like, if he's not going to play next to Bam, I don't know if he's going to play next to Love. Maybe he plays next to Jovic. But it's just a lot of front court spots there. You know, maybe you move Haywood down, you move Jimmy down, and they're more just two threes now. I don't know if that's how you work it out. Maybe that's what you do. You just play a little bigger. I'm a little bit skeptical that that's what they do, just from, you know, the history of it. I think they kind of work guys in slowly. And yes, like, they've been willing to give rookies, you know, big roles, whether, you know, off the bench or as starters. I don't know that Ware fits the bill for this team for that, with a team that, you know, thinks of himself as a contender. I don't know if that's going to be the move. But again, I would be very disappointed. Just like I went into last year, I'm going into Jovic and Hakez, saying that I would be very disappointed if they didn't play. I think that's what the regular season is for. And I don't think they have, like, such a regular season powerhouse that you can't play these young guys. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a situation where they have no space. I think there is space for them to play. And I think you've got to, like, it would be nice to know early on, like, yeah, Ware is going to be either an every night guy or some of the time guy, where it's like, whenever Love doesn't play, Ware plays. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
All right. How important is it to you that guys like that are coming off injury, three in particular, Terry Rozier, Duncan Robinson, and Josh Richardson, consistently work in training camp? In other words, where it's not like there's a bunch of rest days, there's a bunch of days they can't go. And again, there's going to be a medical plan for all of them, depending on where they are come September 30th, you know, into October 1st, in terms of, you know, again, how healed they are. Duncan had a situation that he just, you know, supposedly needed rest. He seems to be fine now. Terry Rozier, they didn't want to risk a long-term situation there with what he was dealing with. Of course, Josh Richardson's coming off the shoulder. But when there's a lot of communication about, not communication, but there's sort of an organizational decree now about availability, that Riley's put that out there. If you end up having a camp where we don't see much of those three guys in particular because they're not fully healed, how much of a concern is that? How important is it that we see them playing a lot in camp and in the preseason games?
To me, that's easily an 8, maybe even a 9, just because, you know, like we talked about so much, right, ever since the trade, we haven't been able to see a real sample of all these guys together because there was always guys in and out. And so to start the season, you know, on that same kind of note, even if it's better, but like if there's concern about, you know, them not doing 100% of the work that others are at this, you know what I mean? Like if it sounds like they're just kind of a little bit behind, even if it's in a better spot than like April or whatever, I think that's really concerning because you need to get that sample. And look, 82 games, right? It's a long season. You'll probably find some time with all those guys healthy, but it always feels like it's, you know, never enough. Like you don't see too much of it. It's
always guys in and out. So I think you've got to start the season off right. And Terry and Duncan specifically, you know, Josh to a lesser extent, but he was a rotation player. But it's very important, I think, for Terry and Duncan to get back to playing their game and to, you know, look comfortable out there. That's, I think that's going to be two of the, you know, biggest storylines as far as the product on the court, right, is how close to 100% are Terry and Duncan? Because those are two guys who are just a huge part of what they did last season. Duncan more kind of like the first half of the season. And even I would say for most of the regular season until, you know, the back injury happened, he just had a fantastic season and really came out with, you know, these extra, just polishing his game and the extra skills. And I think him getting back to that would be fantastic for the Heat and their anemic offense. Terry was obviously a very big addition. And so you don't want to see those guys kind of starting off already, you know, with fans having to worry about whether or not they're going to be ready for game one. And I that's really important to me. You got to figure out what you have there with that backcourt.
I'm with you. I mean, and again, you can't have a situation where we're talking about guys being more available and then being held out, you know, for say all of camp. And I don't expect that to happen. And there may be reasons to hold them out or put them on pitch counts and other things along those lines, just to make sure that they don't have a setback. But if they come out of training camp and there are four or five guys that we don't know where they are from a health perspective, that's not good. Like, there is some depth on this team, but you're right. There needs to also be some continuity, getting some regular lineups going into the season and layering the rotation the way that he likes to do it. And again, getting to the finishing lineup. All right, I'm going to close with this one because I think this one is the one that's going to be the most overrated in camp, and it never ends up really meaning anything. Was there will be a lot of stories written and a lot of talk about the two-ways and like whether or not they replace one of them and what happens with, they say, Drew Smith and all this stuff. And all I want to say is, and I know we did podcasts on it because we were trying to get through a few, 3 months. Ultimately, it's not going to have a big impact on the winning this year. It's just not. Like, I get it that they play their two ways more than other teams do. And I get it that Caleb Martin was a two way and that Max Strus at one point was a two way. But ultimately, the success of this team is going to be determined, I mean, as far as whether they're going to be competing this year, is going to be determined by what Jimmy Butler they're getting, not whether Drew Smith is a two-way.
What Jimmy Butler they're getting, like if you can figure out the rest of those core guys all together and what that comes out to, for sure. You're right. I think this is like a three maybe, because maybe just you give them a little bit. I give it a little bit more than like a one or a two just because the Heat play their two-way guys more. But if we're being real, like just looking at the roster and how many playable bodies they've had, they've got as far as, you know, established guys, vets, young guys, you should not be getting to the two-way spots as far as, like, you know, guys you're playing. That should only happen if there's, like, multiple injuries. You shouldn't be one injury away from playing your two-way guys, just as a general thing. And I think that applies definitely to this Heat roster. Like, you've got guys who are probably going to be just outside of the rotation who are going to climb in when guys are out. Yeah. And if there's two-way guys playing, and, you know, and that's with me being high on Keshawn Johnson and me being really impressed by what I saw with Josh Christopher and, you know, Isaiah Stevens, who might get a two-way later on. Like, I'm really impressed with those guys, encouraged what I saw. It's just factual. Like, you know, Josh Richardson, Alec Burks, K-Love, and then, of course, Ware and Larson. Like, all those guys that we might think of, like, you know, more or less in the back end of the rotation or might be right out of the rotation, all those guys are going to be ahead of the two-way guys. They've got more than enough playable bodies, and so it's not going to affect too much. But I am looking forward to seeing them play when they do get the shot, when there's inevitably like six injuries in January or something.
Well, yeah, that's great. That's a very positive way to look at it, but probably where we're headed. Anyway, I'm just trying to figure out what he's going to follow up Emo Jimmy with. I don't know. It's
maybe he'll come out with like an old school, like Dr. J afro, like a very stylized. That would be cool.
I mean, you get credit for that if he ends up doing it. I mean, there's, we'll see. It's all right. There's our prediction. All right. Thanks to Alex. I know we're all over the place in this episode, but we're just careening towards training camp at this point. Again, check out, this is why, you know, this is why we're credentialed. It's for great analysis like this. All right. Thanks to Alex. Brady will be back with me tomorrow, I believe. Greg is in Miami right now.
Yes.
He's in Miami.
Right. You got to all hang out on board. That's rare.
Not rare. We've never done it.
Yeah, it's never happened.
Sean has been with us, but not down there, but not Greg, I think, all at the same time. So we'll try to see if we can get that done. Maybe we'll do a podcast together this week. All right, everybody, Price Picks, use the code 5FIVE, sign up for Off the Floor, and of course, check out youbreakwheelfix.com.
And we can't meet up all four of us without recording something.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.